start your day the two way with Ryan Brachfield.
Already.
Two witnesses come every month in front of Bezin, and they describe they saw the new moon. Bezin asked them many questions to make sure they say correct Eidus. And afterwards, Bezin decided today is Rosh Chodesh. Now, this message had to be sent across to many different cities in Eretz Yisrael, outside Eretz Yisrael, which was quite complicated prior to the times of phones, emails. And the Mishneh Rosh Hashanah described at length how exactly this was done. But usually, a few days later, until Pesach, Sukkot, Yom Kippur, all the cities in Eretz Yisrael knew exactly when Rosh Chodesh was and when Yom Tov is. However, the only exception is Rosh Hashanah. As Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the month, Bakesa Yom Chageinu, therefore, there was very little time for the message to be sent across. And most cities in Eretz Yisrael also kept 2 days Rosh Hashanah because they weren't sure which day is Rosh Hashanah, the first day, the second day. But for some places in Yerushalayim, where they were close enough to Beis Din, they sometimes knew when Rosh Hashanah is, and they could keep 1 day Rosh Hashanah. But let us try to imagine how did Rosh Hashanah look like. When a person is unsure, he's not sure when Rosh Hashanah is. He lives in Yerushalayim, and he's not sure, would it be Sunday, would it be Monday? He prepares the whole month for Rosh Hashanah. But then when the day arrives, he is not sure when Rosh Hashanah would be. There might be a person who davens the whole day, concentrates, and tries to utilize every moment. And just an hour before it's getting dark, he realizes Rosh Hashanah will only be tomorrow. His neighbor, another year, might have thought Rosh Hashanah will be tomorrow. And therefore this day is a regular weekday. And then an hour before Nacht, he's told, you know, today was Rosh Hashanah. How can that be? How can it be that Rosh Hashanah, the most important day of the year, the Rosh Hashanah, is a day where there's so much uncertainty? We are not sure when Rosh Hashanah is. What did they do? Did they do Kiddush? Perhaps Avdullah? Was it Chol? Was it Rosh Hashanah? What's the explanation? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose the first day of the month for Rosh Hashanah? To understand that, let me share with you a beautiful story of the Baditshev Eruv. Reb Levi Yitzchak of Baditshev used to prepare many months for his matzahs. He worked hard, already from the harvest, until finally, a few weeks before Pesach, he managed to get his flour and then bake his matzahs. Erev Pesach, he goes to shul and he tells his wife, please, do you mind staying home to look after the precious matzahs till I come back? And she says, of course, no problem. He goes to shul. And meanwhile, there's a guest, a dog, who enters the house, grabs the matzahs away and starts running. She tries to run after the dog. She asks her neighbors to help her, but to no avail. There's no way how she could rescue the matzahs. After long Tfilas Arvis, Halil, he comes home and he senses something is not right. He asks his wife what happened and she tells him the story. She was sure he would be very upset, very disappointed. But surprisingly, she sees a smile in his face. And she asks him, why are you laughing? And he says, you know what? I prepared many months because I wanted to bring a Kodesh Baruch Hu a great Nachas Ruach. And I thought this will bring a great Nachas Ruach to prepare my matzahs with so many kavunas. But it seems to be that a Kodesh Baruch Hu has more Nachas Ruach from me not getting angry, from me accepting it with joy and simcha. And therefore he said, if all the matzahs are good enough for Klal Yisrael, they're good enough for me as well. He went to his neighbor, knocked on the door, he borrowed 3 matzahs and started his seder with lot of joy and simcha. We have often expectations how we want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we should. But when things don't happen the way we expected, when we can't fulfill the mitzvah the way we hoped to, we often are upset, disappointed, discouraged. What Rav Levi Yitzchak taught us is we should not serve Hashem the way how we want to serve Him, rather the way how He wants to be served. Hashem knows better than us what brings Him the most nachas ruach. He knows better what will be the best for us, how we can be mesaken and be mashlim artikun. And therefore, it made no difference to Him if it's through matzahs or through not getting angry. There's a beautiful story of one of the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. When Erev Rosh Hashanah, he came to shul and davened mincha. Mincha is a very special tefillah because it's the last tefillah of the year, and it has the ability to be mesaken, to rectify all the tefillahs of the past year. And therefore he really prepared for this mincha. He comes, he starts to daven, and it just doesn't go. He can't concentrate. Usually he feels a dveikus, he feels a closeness of Kodesh Baruch Hu when he davens, but here he couldn't. He couldn't even concentrate on the simple translations of the words. He tried very hard, but he was really disappointed. After mincha he thought, what a waste. Afterwards the Baal Shem Tov came out of his room and told him, I'm not sure what you did with your mincha, but we tried to be mesaken some things in Shemaim, was very, very hard, and then you came with your mincha and you did the job. What happened? And he realized it's not how he imagined it would be. But sometimes this, what he imagines, is not the best. Sometimes being not able to daven and try to concentrate very hard brings much more nachas ruach to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore realize that a person should serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu the way how he wants to be served, and not the way how we expect to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. On Rosh Hashanah, every person wants to have a good year. Hashanah Toivah, Mesukah, Ksiv Chasim Toivah. And we have to prepare for that. We prepare months of Elul. We say Sliches. We come to Rosh Hashanah and we are very careful with everything we do. What we eat, we should eat something sweet and not bitter. We don't eat nuts because egois is gematria chet. Like you heard in the Shir before, we try not to sleep on Rosh Hashanah during the day. But sometimes things happen differently. Sometimes things go not like we expected it to go. And then we might be upset, disappointed. But the true attitude, the true definition of Malchus, is to appreciate and know HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have a good year much more than we do. And he prepares everything as so. All the occurrences he orchestrated in such a way that we should be able to have the best possible year. Sometimes it's through Limud Torah, sometimes it's through Tefillah, and other times through not getting upset, through not getting disappointed, through Bidan Lekaf Schus. And therefore, it might be the reason why Rosh Hashanah was so uncertain and so different for every person. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the right Rosh Hashanah for every person. And every person on his own way is supposed to be Mekabel Malchus Shemayim and say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if this is the way how you want to be served, this is how I will serve you. With joy, not being affected by what's happening. This middah is called Midas HaHishtavus. Hishtavus means shuve, equal. When a person is equal in all situations, when a person serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu the same way, with the same joy, with the same excitement, in every situation. Sorry?
Equanimity.
Equanimity, thank you. we see the person who excelled in this middah was Yosef HaTzadik. Chazal teach us, Yosef Yutzu Mibeis HaSurim, when on Rosh Hashanah. Now let's see what happened when Yosef came out of prison. He was a slave in prison in Mitzrayim, and suddenly Paro needed some help. He had some dreams, and Yosef helped him explain the dreams in a brilliant way. Paro was so impressed that he said, "Vayomer Paro el Yosef, acharei hoydia elokim oischu es kol zois, ein nuvoin v'chucham kumoichu. Atu tiyad beisi, val picho yishak kol ami raka kisei egdal mimeko." He says to Yosef, "From now on, you are the second to the king." And then he seems to repeat himself. A second time he tells him, "You are the second to the king." And then a third time, Pusuk Mem Dalet, and then he appoints him as the second of the king. The question is, why does he repeat himself so many times? Isn't it sufficient to say once, "Yosef, you are the second to the king"? I heard a brilliant explanation from Rav Zilberberg. He says that what happened was, Paro expected Yosef to be full of excitement and joy. Imagine that, a few minutes earlier he was in prison, and a few minutes later he's one of the most powerful people in the world. But he sees no reaction, even not a smile, no sign of excitement. He was sure Yosef didn't hear him. He repeated himself again, "Do you know what I just said? I just appointed you a second to the king." And still no emotion. He tries it a third time. What Paro didn't understand, for Yosef it made no difference if he serves Hashem in prison or as a king. It makes no difference if he is a son to Yaakov Avinu and learns Torah with his father and his brothers, or if he is a slave in Mitzrayim by Eishes Potiphar, if he is in prison or he is a king. Of course, he tries his best to get out of prison. But after doing so, he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Do you want me to serve you in prison? That's where I will serve you. Do you want me to serve you as a king? I'll do so. But it makes no difference to me." This was the same excitement. And therefore, Paro couldn't get even a smile on his face. He was as happy in prison then as the second to the king. And therefore, Yosef Yutzu Mibeis HaSurim Rosh Hashanah, because this is the avoid of Rosh Hashanah, where a person internalizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our best, and of course we have to try our best to serve Him to the best possible way. But at the end of the day, He's deciding how He wants to be served, and we should do so with lots of joy and excitement. The Baal Shem Tov once translated the pasuk, "Shivisi Hashem lenegdi sumit." Shivisi also means to be equal. Shuve. How can I be equal in every situation? How can I keep my excitement when things go wrong? Hashem lenegdi sumit, by remembering that everything is from Hashem, and He is the one who decides how He should be served. A different sort of Rosh Hashanah. The Haftarah we read the first day of Rosh Hashanah. We read about the story of Chanah. Chanah didn't have children for many years, and then finally one year she came to the Mishkan, she cried bitterly, and she merited the child. Chazal tell us as well, this story also happened on Rosh Hashanah. Chanu nifkido b'Rosh Hashanah. And according to the Shulchan Kodesh, she davened, the time when she davened was also Rosh Hashanah. But why do we read this after? Many things happen on Rosh Hashanah, many things are happening every year on Rosh Hashanah. The simple understanding is, it should give us courage not to despair and to know the Koyach HaTfilah, how Rosh Hashanah is a great Eiz Rutzoin for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to answer HaTfilahs. Like one of the tzaddikim once translated the words we say musiv, miloi nifkat kayoy mazeh, which literally means who is not recalled on that day of Rosh Hashanah. But it can also mean, like the pusuk says, Vashem pukat esur, which tefillah goes unanswered on Rosh Hashanah. In Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah we mention Zeichel the Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now we understand the connection between Pesach and Yitzias Mitzrayim, between Sukkot and Yitzias Mitzrayim, and even between Shavuos and Yitzias Mitzrayim. But why do we mention Rosh Hashanah Zeichel the Yitzias Mitzrayim? What's the connection? There are different explanations given. One explanation is that on Rosh Hashanah the Yidden worked very hard. In Mitzrayim the Yidden worked hard. And suddenly one day, Vayitzaku, they started screaming and asking Kadosh Baruch Hu, take us out of Mitzrayim. And Vayishma Hashem es Nakusam. When a Yid davens, when a Yid cries, Kadosh Baruch Hu answers his tefillahs. And this is something we should remember on Rosh Hashanah. And therefore we read also the story of Chana. But there's a much deeper connection, especially with tefillahs Chana, the conversation Chana had with Eli HaKoyen and the avoider of Rosh Hashanah. Chana comes to the Mishkan, and as the Pusuk says, V'himoras nofesh v'tispalel al Hashem uvuchoy tivke. She davens, she cries. V'hoyo kihir biso lispalel lifnei Hashem ve'eili shoymer espio. Eili, a Kohen, sees her, observes her, but keeps distant. He doesn't say anything, he waits. Her lips are moving, but he can't hear any words. And therefore, Eli was convinced she must be drunk. But he doesn't say anything, he waits. And after she finishes, Vayomer Eleyo Eli ad Musa Tishtakurin, why do you come in the Mishkan being drunk? And she explains she's not drunk, she davens for a son. And Eli accepts her answer and gives her a bruche. Now if you think about the story, when we compare a person on Purim, when he's drunk, when he davens HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we compare a person standing by Tfilas Nile and Christ, who both look similar, how is it possible to make this mistake, to really think she's drunk? And let's say he had a doubt. Let's say we could make a mistake. Why didn't he judge her favorably? Why wasn't he done lekaf schus? Especially on Rosh Hashanah is a day where a person should try very hard to dan everyone lekaf schus. Why did he think she's a shikoyu? And even if he made a mistake, why do we need to read his mistakes? Why should the Novi mention that? And why should he have to wait till she finishes? If a person enters the Mishkan drunk, the first thing is to stop the person and say, please go out of here. He waits. From all of these questions, how could he make this mistake? And even if he had a doubt, why wasn't he dan her lekaf schus? Why did he wait? And why does the Novi tell us the story? It seems to be that shikoyu doesn't mean literally being drunk. He must have had a different thought. There must have been some conversation going on between Chana and Eli. What was the conversation and what's the connection to Rosh Hashanah? There is an obvious contradiction of what we see and learn about Rosh Hashanah. When we stand in shul for many hours, Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Hadin, and we daven, we focus on our own needs, and we ask Kadosh Baruch Hu, Bunei, Chayei, Mezoinei, in the words that the Anshei Chesed HaGdolei were Mesaken, in our own words. And it seems to be a day where a person should focus on what he needs, what his family needs, and ask, Ein lunu melech ela oto, only Kadosh Baruch Hu can answer our tefillahs, and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a ksiv v'chasim etoyv. On the other hand, we see that the main avoid of Rosh Hashanah is to be mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meloich hakol olam kuloi bichvoidechu. Melech hakol uretz. A person can daven for many hours. If he missed one word, if he said hukel hakudosh instead of amelech hakudosh, he has to start all over again. It's all about Hashem is a melech, and not about ourselves. We should put our needs aside. We shouldn't concentrate on what we need. We should focus on what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need. We should only be mamlechim and only praise Him. How does these two go together? And even though the Zohar HaKadosh writes sharply, Tzvuchin kekal bin hav hav, a person who asks, give, give, it seems to be negative to ask for our own needs to be filled. But if we read the Tfilis, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolei Rohem Mesaken, when we say all the Avinu Malkeinus, and we say Kosveinu B'Sefer Panusa Toivu Zocheinu L'Chaim, and we are also encouraged to pray with our own words, we seem to find it difficult to understand. How does this make sense? The Chasam Sofer says the most amazing pshat. On the pusuk we say twice daily in the Dovid Hashem Oyer V'Yishi. One thing I ask from Hashem, Shifti beveis Hashem kol yimei chayei. I should merit to sit in the beis Hashem kol yimei chayei my entire life. I asked the Chasam Sofer, really? Achas shoalti? We only ask for one thing. We ask for dozens of things. We ask for panusa toive. We ask for chayim toive. We ask for bunei. Why is it only achas shoalti meis Hashem? And he answers brilliantly. It's true, we ask many different things, but whatever we ask, it's not for its own sake. When a person asks for panusa, does he want panusa for the sake of panusa? No. He wants panusa in order to be able to support his family, in order to give tzedukah, in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person wants chaye in davens for chaye, does he want chaye for its own sake? No. He wants to be healthy in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. When a person davens, and he has many, many, many requests, but are not for its own sake. There's one exception. Acha shu'alti me'is Hashem. One thing I ask from Hashem, oisu avakesh, and I really want this for its own sake. And this is shifti beveis Hashem. All the other things are not for its own sake. Therefore, just like a king who has a kingdom, a palace, servants, ministers, advisors, judges, policemen, and they all complement each other, and they all form together this great kingdom. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world, a physical world, and He created Klal Yisrael as being His ambassadors in this world to reveal Hashem's presence in this world. And therefore, for Kvoid Shemaim, therefore, in order the Malchus Shemaim to function, a person needs Zocheinu L'Chaim, a person needs Kosveinu B'Sefer Chaim Toivim, Panusa Toivim, Gzeres Toivim. And therefore, it's not a contradiction at all. Because when we daven for our own needs, we don't focus on ourselves, we focus on Malchus Shemaim. We focus on Meloicha Kol Olam Kula Bichvodecho. We focus on V'yeda Kol Pol Ki Ato Fe'altoi. And therefore, not only isn't it wrong, but we are encouraged to daven and to ask. HaKadosh Baruch, we want this kingdom to function. We want it to be a great Malchus Shemaim. And therefore, for this, we ask so many bakushes. We stand so many hours in shul and we daven. And we also mention Hashem Melech because it's all one. This is the conversation Chana had with Eli HaKohen. Chana comes in the Mishkan. She cries. Of course she's not drunk. Of course she needs something very badly. He doesn't know what. But obviously something is bothering her. But Eli HaKohen doesn't understand. In the Mishkan, where the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so clearly, on Rosh Hashanah, this is what you ask for. This is what you are busy with, focusing on yourself. When he says shikoyr, drunk, he means that your desires to fulfilling your own needs are so great you can't even think straight. That's not how you should daven here. But she waits. It's not so terrible. He doesn't have to stop her. She's not really drunk. But afterwards she rebukes her and says, you should daven a different way. And then she answers him the following words. Ve'eshpoich es nafshi lifnei Hashem. The desire I ask is not because I focus on my own needs. It's what my nefesh wants. What my nefesh cries for. I want a son, not because I want a son, because I want there should be another servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, straight afterwards, what she's saying, that the son that would be born, she would bring him as he would designate his entire life to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because this is what she really wanted. And this is what deep down every person wants when he asks his own physical needs. Deep down, the nefesh, the pnimis of the person, he really wants only Kvod Shemayim. There's a famous saying from Rameh Premishlan. He says that when a person would concentrate, when he would squeeze out all the tefillahs of a person, what's the essence? What really lies under each tefillah? He said, what lies under it is geld, money. At the end of the day, the person wants to have a lot of money. But if you squeeze out the money, what do you find? Mitzvahs, ma'asim tovim. What does a person do with his money? He supports his family. He gives tzedakah. But I think there's an oimek to this, to this prat. Even though a person might superficially ask for his own needs, it might seem like he focuses on what he needs, but deep down, what he really wants is Kavod Shemayim. What deeply what he wants is V'simloich Atahu Hashem Elokeinu Levadecho Meloich Hakol Olam Kulo Bichvodecho Achar Shoalti Meis Hashem Oisu Avakeish HaMelech HaKudosh. We said two different thoughts about davening for Agashmis or Shoshone and about the Midas HaShtavos, how a person should try to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every possible way and not being influenced by whatever happens around him. This is a story told over about one of the great tzaddikim, I forgot his name, who desperately wanted to have a talis from Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't so easy at that time to get a piece of cloth of Eretz Yisrael, but after saving money for a long time, he managed to get a piece of cloth. He asked one of his talmidim, please can you help me? Please can you make a talis kutten from this cloth? And he was very excited to help his Rebbe, and he accepted the job. He took it with trembling hands and started making a talis kutten. When it came to the time to make a hole in order to put the head through this hole, he by mistake folded the talis kutten doubly. So when he made half a circle and he opened it, instead of being there having one circle, one opening, the talis had now two openings and was impossible to be worn. He was afraid to go back to his Rebbe and he waited, but after a week or so, the tzaddik approached him and said, no, what's happening with my talis kutten? And he tried, but he had to say the truth. He said, I'm really, really sorry, I messed up. And he takes the talis kutten and shows him the talis kutten. And he was sure his Rebbe would be very upset. And the Rebbe is so excited and says, amazing, the talis kutten needs to have two openings, needs to have two holes. And he's very puzzled. He learned Aluch as well. And it doesn't seem to have a reason why a talis kutten should have two openings, two holes. So the Rebbe explains and says, yeah, a talis kutten needs to have two holes. One hole in order to put our heads through this hole. And the second hole in order for me not to get angry. In order for me not to lose it. Where he truly understood and appreciated that the way how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is supposed to be served is not how we imagine it to be, rather how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be served. Let me finish off with a thought on the parasha, Parashas Nitzuvim, which is also very much connected to the Yontav of Rosh Hashanah. Short parasha. In Shishi, we read about a specific mitzvah. Ki a mitzvah azois asher anoichi metzavcho hayoyim. A certain mitzvah, loy nifleisi mimcho, is not far away from us. Loy rechoyko hi. Loy bashumayim hi leimo miyale lono ashumayim o vikochenu lono v'ashmeinu oisonu v'nasenu. Obviously, we are talking about a certain mitzvah which seems to be very hard to achieve. The person might say, it's far away, maybe it's bashumayim. Rather, it's not like it seems to be far away, it's very close. Which mitzvah are we talking about? There are different explanations in the Rishonim. One opinion is we are talking about the mitzvah of tshuva. Tshuva seems to be very far away. A person who looks at himself and feels he's so far away from perfection, how could he change himself fully? It doesn't seem to be possible. Rather, it's impossible. And therefore, he might be scared and say, it's bashumayim, it's me'evel ayom, it's rechoiku. And Torah says, no, no. Ki kore velecho, it's close enough. How is it Kurev? I heard an interesting story about a couple who were not observant for many, many years, very far from Yiddishkeit, but suddenly on Rosh Hashanah he sees how many people walk towards the beach. Was to fulfill the minhag of Tashlich, and he saw many people going, and he said, you know what, at the end of the day I'm also Yid, maybe I should look what they are doing, maybe I should have a look. And he goes, he follows them, and he looks to what happens, and suddenly a person approaches him and asks him, did you hear today at Kiyas Shofar? He says, no, I didn't. Do you want to hear Kiyas Shofar? He thinks and says, you know what? Why not? Yes, please. The person blows Kiyas Shofar, Tkiyah, Shvu'im, Tu'ah, Tkiyah, the whole set. And afterwards, they have a nice conversation. And the Baal Tekeah introduces himself and tells him his name. And he wishes him a good Gebenshtiyah. The person goes home, very fascinating what he saw. Tashlich, Tkiyas Shofar. And he tells the story over to his wife. And then he mentions the name of this Baal Tekeah. And she's shocked. He asks, is everything okay? What's happening? And she says, you know, I had a grandfather with exactly the same name as this person. This must be a sign from heaven. And they tried slowly to interest themselves to get to know Yiddishkeit better. And by now, they're fully observant, they're full Shema Torah mitzvahs. Sometime later, this man goes to Chaim Kanievsky and asks him, can you explain me, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu wait so long to send me the sign? It was an obvious sign. That the person comes with the same name as my wife's grandfather. Why didn't he send me this wake-up call many years earlier? I wasted so much of my life. So Chaim Kanievsky answered him an amazing answer. He said, the man was ready 20 years ago. You weren't ready. You didn't do the first step. But then Rosh Hashanah, when you decided to do the first step, when you said, you know what, let me look at what's happening there. I'm also Yid. When you went to Tashlich, when you asked him, yes, please, bitte kehr Shofar, please blow the Shofar for me, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed the sign, the wake-up call, and helped you to come closer. It's true, the mitzvah of tshuva is very far. It seems to be Bashamayim. It seems to be Me'ev Layom. But on the other hand, like the Pusuk says, Ki kuroiv eilechu haduvar me'oiv. We just have to do the first step. If we do the first step, and the first step is kuroiv, everyone can do a first step. Then Kosh Baruch Hu helps us, gives us Yate Dishmaye, and then Beficho uvilvavchu lasoisoi, where we all mitzashem bizoiche, for ksiv rasimetoi, vegitke ben shiu. And when we have this Yate Dishmaye to do the first step, and then mitzashem Kosh Baruch Hu will help us to have a gitke ben shiu. Amen.